This has to do with the message. How long were you waiting?
Just a minute.
1 minute? Okay, perfect. So that has to do with the message, actually. So leaving. Going to read in Philippians today. Sorry, I'm late. And also sorry I played hooky last week. Some people asked me why I was missed. The announcement today about sicknesses in the nursery, we think maybe Gabriel caught a sickness in a nursery somewhere at a conference. Catherine caught it from him. Then I caught it. Then the whole compound caught it. No, at least Jordan caught it. And I won't share the gross details some of the youth heard at our Bible study because we'll eat today. But thank God, Matt Graham seemed to share my message last week on love and even read some of the same verses. He read some verses from Philippians 1, 9 through 10. At least they're listed there on the website. And he was talking about love growing. And this is a prayer here for love to abound more and more in discernment. And actually, this is what I was planning on sharing last week. And in the preparation time and listing everything together in my heart, I kept getting stuck on this phrase, "This I pray." Now, the message has to do with actually the meaning of the prayer, and I want to look through the book of Philippians in light of this prayer that Paul the Apostle had for the Philippian church. But in preparation, I couldn't get past "this I pray." So actually today I want to share more on this. "This I pray." Just this phrase from this. This is chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "And this I pray," like I've been saying. And I felt slightly, not slightly, I actually felt convicted about looking into this prayer. And then the question is, can we say, "This I pray"? Or another way to say it is, can we say, "I pray"? Now, he's praying for this church in Philippi. So I want to read some verses right now. But today, because the message time is short, we have baptisms today. This is a big, real, spiritual, joyful event today. We're going to have a shorter time and also a precursor or a part A to next Sunday. So I'll also be sharing next Sunday, God willing, and we live. We'll look at the actual prayer next Sunday. But today we want to look at some things ahead of time. So let's turn to chapter 3, actually, in Philippians. In chapter 3, there's a verse 17. It says, "Be imitators altogether of me, brethren, and fix your eyes on those walking thus as you have us for a model." In some translation says, "Follow my example." Or at the end of the verse, it will say, "Those of us that you have for examples." There's another verse. It's actually in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. And I'll just read it quickly. It says, "Be my imitators." This is similar. "Be my imitators, even as I also am of Christ." So in light of that concept, Paul is imitating Christ, and here he asks us to be his imitator. Or Paul is following the example of Christ and asking us to follow him, follow his example. One more verse. It's in chapter 2, verse 20. It's talking about Timothy. "I have no one like-minded." This is 2:20, Philippians 2:20. I have no one like-minded who will care with genuine feeling how you get on. For all seek their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ." So let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you. We can stand here today in your presence and worship you together. And this morning you brought us to remember you and forget about ourselves. And just now we want to look away unto Christ and behold you and fellowship together with you. We pray you breathe on your word and that something specific would touch our hearts today. We pray that we can hear something from you directly. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we'll look at some examples from the book of Philippians. There's three people that are mentioned there that I want to look at as examples. One is Paul, one is Timothy, one is Epaphroditus. So the scripture is, be my example, follow my example, be my imitator, and also those others that you have walking in front of you like models. But there's so much to talk about with their examples, and we're going to limit it to this one thing, which is the heart that they had for the church in Philippi. And especially want to talk about the action of praying for the church. So here in verse 9 of chapter 1, we read, "This I pray." And his prayer goes on, and we'll look at that next week. But also before that verse, you're just going to want to keep your Bibles open today. In verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "I thank my God for my whole remembrance of you." Going on, it says, "constantly in my every supplication." So in all of his prayers, making the supplication for you all with joy. And then verse 8, a little bit down. "God is my witness how I long after you all in the bowels of Christ Jesus." So the Apostle Paul, as our example, in his relationship with the Philippian church, he's praying for them. Now, I'm sitting there looking at the actual prayer that he prays, looking at the teaching involved with it, looking at the concepts of it, and it seems like if we join in this team of people praying for the church, that prayer will affect us more. So imagine Paul and Timothy and even Epaphroditus are there praying for Philippi, for this church in Philippi. They're praying this prayer. They're praying the prayer that their love will grow, abound, more and more. They'll have more in the way of knowledge, discernment. They'll be able to tell the things that are on the Lord's heart. So it's a prayer for their love to not be at the base or at the shallow point or at the initial first love point, but to actually grow in truth. It's a prayer for their love for them to get discernment, for them to mature. This is what they're praying for this church. They're laboring and praying for this church. Now, does this prayer, I think, would affect Epaphroditus even more? Being a Christian that's praying for the church. And Timothy, being a Christian, like Paul said, "I have no one like-minded. Or I have no one like-souled. I have no one who shares the same heart with me for you all. I can send him there, and I know he actually cares about you. I can tell it in his prayers. I can tell the way that he prays for you, he really cares about you." With us, we have two approaches with the church here locally. Now, we're going to try to follow their examples, but their examples are so beyond us. Our capacity isn't as big as the Apostle Paul, I'd say, in general. His capacity to pray for the saints is really large. His heart is very large. As we read through the New Testament, he's praying for many different churches, many specific things. Even in 2 Corinthians, he mentions how all these outward things that he's going through, of trials and difficulties and physical hardships, staying up all night praying and fasting and other things. But he said, besides these outward things, biggest thing is this inward burden I have for all the churches. I'm praying for them. And then he says, "Who is weak? Who is stumbled? And I burn not." It bothers him when trials are going on in the churches, when there's problems in the churches. His heart so cares for the saints that when they stumble, he's not full of judgment for them, or he's not saying, "Told you so," or this is your case, why are you doing this? He's so burdened for them because his prayer life for them is real. He's mentioning them often, making mention of them in his prayers. So this is his life in general, but want to apply it to us in our setting here in Richmond, locally, with our gathering right here. And praying for each other right here, and praying for the church here. So something we want to look at in the book of Philippians, we can see these brothers praying for the church in Philippi. Epaphroditus seems to have come from there, been sent from there, and joined up with Paul for a time, and he sends him back with this letter. But for us, following this example of prayer, there's two approaches that we can take. When we come, we gather together, we think of the church, we think of problems or good things in the church, kind of two ways. One is we are spectators, or one is we are watching, we're observing, and the other is that we're serving. Many people here watch sports, and when people watch sports, if you're in a room with people that watch sports, one problem is they eat a lot of chips, but that's not my point, though. The problem is, the other thing is, they end up yelling a lot at the team. Men, very calm men, suddenly stand up and are yelling when they're watching sports. I know some men like this that I'm very shocked. I see them watching sports, and suddenly they're up and they're yelling at the TV, you know, either in excitement or they're yelling at what the ref did wrong or they're yelling at the player that missed a catch or something like this. Now, as a spectator, you can see the whole game. True, you're watching it on, if you're watching it on TV, and they zoom in at certain spots now, and the HDTV, you can see the person's shoelaces now. So you can see the whole thing, and you become your own. You become the coach, it feels like. And you become the expert, it feels like. And suddenly you know every mistake that everybody on the team is making, and what should have been done, and what you would have done better. But put those same men that ate too many chips in the backyard playing football, and see what happens. You know, when you stand up for action to actually play football or play basketball or play tennis or whatever, you have more sympathy for everyone that you watch play the game. When you're in the game, you're not as much of a complainer, but more of a teammate. When you're in the game, you're wanting everyone together on your team to win this thing. It's a different approach, and it's the same in the church. When you're in the church and you come and you observe, say the Philippian believers in the church in Philippi, maybe some of them come to some gatherings and they observe problems. And so they have some complaints. And some of them are legitimate. Some of them are maybe we're just confused about how things should be. Either way, there is a difference from Epaphroditus, who is somebody there but that's praying for them. There's a difference from Timothy and Paul, who are actually praying for the church in Philippi. When there's a problem, they see the problem. Their vision of it is clear because the Lord's giving them discernment, but their heart is different. It's this heart of Timothy that Paul can say, I have no one like-minded who would care for genuine feeling how you get on. He said about Timothy that, just in general actually, everyone seeks their own things, not the things of Christ. So personally, this stuck. This has stayed in my heart. I want to say that all of us, I think, must have some room to grow, and I don't want to stand up here and say follow my example, but I want to look at Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus and say let's follow their example of prayer. Now, one test that I did in considering this was I used a stopwatch on my phone. Now, my phone right now is in airplane mode, so I can't get any text or phone calls, so don't try. I have a stopwatch on here, and so I tried to see how long does it take me actually to make mention of somebody in prayer, because this is a problem that a lot of us have with praying for the church. We feel like I need an hour to sit down and pray, or I need 30 minutes to sit down and pray, and it becomes overwhelming. Now, maybe in your life you've had an hour of prayer before that was so sweet and so good, and you touched the Lord's heart, and you broke through in prayer, and you because of that, you feel every day, I need this hour of prayer. Now, if we can do this, this is great. But I want to speak to those who have lives or times or periods in your life when it's so busy that you feel like I can't even pray for other people. I'm just barely surviving and making it. So testing this out, actually, I want to do, now earlier you guys were waiting for me for a whole minute, and you saw how long that was. It probably felt like a lot longer than 1 minute, I guess. I'm sorry. So right now I'm just going to be quiet for 10 seconds. I'm going to start it and stop it and just see how long this actually takes. Okay, ready? Okay. That was a long time, wasn't it? Do you think you can pray for one person in that amount of time? At least making mention of them. Now, it's true, when you start to pray for one person and you're making mention of them daily, maybe on a certain day something stands out to you. Maybe you think of a verse for them, or you think of something to do. Maybe I need to call this person, just see how they're doing, or something like that. So it's true, it can take longer than 10 seconds. But 10 seconds, as a bare minimum, you can pray for somebody. You can actually, two verses, verse 9 and 10, I tested this out too, I'm not going to speak too fast, but ready, you're going to time me. I'm going to read chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 in 10 seconds. Here we go. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in full knowledge and all intelligence, that you may judge of and approve the things that are more excellent, in order that you may be pure and without offense for Christ's day." Okay. 11 seconds. Sorry. Now, I was reading a little slow for your all's sake. On my own, I talk faster. And sometimes I talk faster here and people complain, so I'm trying to talk slower. Also, in less than 10 seconds, people can run 100 meters. Recently, in about 5 seconds, someone created a robot with a phone like this and some Legos that could do the Rubik's Cube in 5 seconds. And some humans can also do the Rubik's Cube in less than 10 seconds. And also at my house, Gabriel's toy room, I can pick it up in less than 10 seconds. If it's only been one day of mess. 10 seconds is just, it happens 6 times in a minute. I went to school. And within 1 hour, how many 10 seconds are there? How many 10 seconds are there? Is it 3,600? Huh? Six times six is 36. Okay, add a zero. All right, 360 10 seconds, right? So even if you had an hour, you could pray for 360 people. I'm not challenging anybody to do this. Actually, today the challenge is 3 people. This is half a minute daily for this next week. This is the challenge. Just to try, just something to try, just to make mention of at least 3 people daily. You feel you have no time. Now, ask the Lord, this isn't a lull, this isn't something in whatever I'm putting on anybody. The Lord may give you something else from what we're talking about today. But at least I would say we have time to make mention of some of the saints here in Richmond. But as a habit, I'm wondering, how many of us go to bed and during the day we didn't make mention of the saints here? We didn't share in the Lord's heart. So Paul the Apostle, to follow his example, he cares about this church, Philippi. If he was a spectator and he's there in prison, he may actually have a complaining heart that they didn't send some gifts earlier. Remember in chapter 4 he says, I rejoice greatly that now you've revived your thinking of me. You didn't have an opportunity before, but now you've revived your thinking of me. You sent this love gift and you sent Epaphroditus. Instead, he could be like, it's about time that you sent this gift to me. But this isn't his thinking. So his heart for them is a heart that cares about them. The spectator heart that doesn't pray for the church only sees when we make mistakes. Sometimes we see the good as well, but you quickly see the mistakes. And when you see the mistake, the heart is off balanced. The heart is more like thinking of his own things and not the things of Christ. Spiritual discernment is a good thing, but spiritual discernment, when you're touching the Lord's heart with the Holy Spirit giving you discernment, it's a whole nother realm versus human discernment that we're just clever and can observe problems. So let's look at Timothy really quick. In chapter 2, verse 19, chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, "I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be refreshed, knowing how you get on. For I have no one like-minded who will care with genuine feeling how you get on. All seek their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a child or father, he has served with me in the work of the glad tidings. Him, therefore, I hope to send immediately, as soon as I shall see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall soon come." Now, something that stands out, I want to pull out with Timothy's example is, especially that in his laboring with the Apostle Paul, he begins to share the same heart as the Apostle Paul. He's traveling around with the Apostle Paul daily, most likely daily. They are praying and travailing together for the churches. They're sharing everything together. And what gradually happens, this like-minded is like sold. Gradually, even in, not just in spiritual, not just spiritually are they connected or one because they both have the Holy Spirit, but even in their hearts, they become joined together because they share the same heart together. Now, applying this to us, Timothy joined Paul's team as far as caring for the church in Philippi. But for us to follow this example, let us join the Lord's team together. Timothy and Paul were on the Lord's team praying for Philippi. And the Lord Jesus, like it says in Hebrews 7:25, he's ever living to intercede for us. The Lord is praying for the church here in Richmond. The Lord is praying for the church here. The Lord is praying for that saint that's stumbling, for that saint that's missing, for that saint that's whatever, that's causing a trouble. The Lord's praying for that meeting that's failing, or for all the problems that are going on. And may we join his team. May we be like-minded. Almost like the Lord can stand there right now, look down on us in this room, expose us with his light, and does he say, I have no one like-minded? Or does he say, see this one? This one's like-minded with me. This one shares my heart. That's what I feel like we need to get swept up into and to join together. Just to daily be praying for the saints, you know what happens is you start to touch the Lord's heart for his people. As you think of them, when you see them, because you've been praying for them, you have a whole other thought about them. People that even your personalities clash. When you see them, though, because you've been praying for them, their personality doesn't clash with the Lord's personality. And the Lord's heart for them doesn't have any bitterness or anger or anything like this. So when he sees them, the Lord has this love in his heart for them. So you begin to have this joined soul with the Lord. I don't know if that makes sense, but you begin to be like-minded. You begin to actually care about the saints. So one thing that can happen is, say you go to a Bible study. And maybe your Bible study, you feel at a certain point, maybe you come back from a Bible study and you say, it's not that lively at the Bible study. Or you say, at this Bible study, it's too heady. There's no one really bringing life there. Now, but then let's take the approach that daily you begin to pray for that Bible study time. Now, this isn't an individual saint, but still in 10 seconds you can pray for the Bible study. So you're praying for this Bible study that you're going to. And as you're praying for it, you begin to change as well. Your heart changes. Instead of going into the Bible study and seeing what's it going to be like, am I going to get anything out of this Bible study? Instead of looking at the Bible study, am I going to get anything out of it? Take the Lord's mindset towards the Bible study. And he wants to bring life to that Bible study. So then as you go to the Bible study, the Lord actually prepares your heart. And if everybody is sharing in a heady way or just a theological way, at least you can come and you can share something full of life. At least you can be part of the solution and not part of the problem. But if you come and you haven't been praying for everybody and you're just watching, it will be what it is, and it will bother you. As we pray with the Lord, we begin to share his heart for it. The same happens if you go to a prayer meeting. I wouldn't say try this, but some people have tried this, to go to a prayer meeting and not pray. If you go to a prayer meeting and not pray, I'm not saying this is an evil thing. I've done this before. It's mainly because of nervousness, being so afraid that I'll pray the wrong way. And at Harvey Cedars, with the 10th, 11th, 12th graders, we had prayer times in the mornings, and we talked about why do we struggle to pray. And this was our biggest issue, was we're afraid that as we pray, we're just nervous that people will hear our prayers, that we'll mess up. We're very nervous about it. What if I pray the wrong thing? What if I'm off topic? Everything like that. So we actually did some prayer training. We prayed, all had to pray the first time. We just all prayed just to get the exercise. And the one rule we said is don't be fake. If you don't be fake, your prayer's okay. If you're fake, then your prayer is no good. So everybody prayed. I don't think we were fake. The next day, we tried to pray like we do here on Wednesday nights, where we pray, we take one topic, and it's all volunteer. No one's assigned. You're number one, you're number two, you're number three, you're number four. And then once the five of you pray for that topic, we'll move on. We don't do that. We actually leave it up to the leading of the Holy Spirit to prompt each person to pray. So we tried that in our prayer time. But beforehand, everybody agreed that they would pray two times at least each. Now, I said, if you don't do it, I'm not going to catch you. But anyway, afterwards, everybody said they had done it. So we prayed, and it was wonderful. We had to look to the Lord to free us from being nervous of praying. But in the past, and sometimes with praying, especially with youth praying, we've sat there to pray, expecting to do it like we do here on Wednesday nights, and silence, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We're just silent. One person will pray. One overcomer peeps out of prayer, and then we're just silent. We're all so nervous. And then we walk away from the prayer time, and everybody says, oh, I don't want to go tomorrow to that prayer time, you know, because it was so dead. It's so quiet. It's so whatever. This year, when we left our prayer time, I think everybody felt like this was a good prayer time. Now, what made the difference? They all went in, not as spectators, but they all prayed. They all went in and were part of it. We were all on the same team praying together. You come to the Wednesday night prayer meeting, just even in your heart before the Lord, ask the Lord if this is for you. But in your heart, determine before the Lord to pray at least some, at least once, at least join in. And when you do that, you join in on the team. You become not somebody that can complain about the prayer meeting, but you become part of it. You become somebody that actually changed the atmosphere of the prayer meeting. What I mean is, if your prayer circle praying for a certain topic all seems dead, were you dead when you prayed for that, or were you not? So this is just a different approach. This I pray. Actually, let's join in and be able to say, this I pray. So we actually are doing this. Another thing that can happen is, if we come on, actually, pull back from meetings for a little bit. Think of your own time. One thing that can happen to us is we believers need to reach each other. You know, outside of gatherings, just one-on-one, and this happens a lot, probably more than we realize. But as Christians, brothers and sisters, there needs to be a lot of one-on-one fellowship happening in the church. So take the two approaches again. As a spectator coming to the church, you can sit back and notice, let's say for 2 weeks, nobody calls you. Nobody, maybe 2 months, nobody invites you over for a meal. One approach is, this can really bother you. And this can become a thing where even you can be bitter or angry at the church. But another approach is, you're praying for the saints. You know of this need, even for yourself. And being part of the solution, by God's leading, by through your prayer time, you actually begin to invite people over, or you begin to call somebody up to fellowship. This changes your whole approach with everything. Even people you think should reach out to you, reach out to them. It's a whole nother thing. So with Timothy, I have no one like-minded who cares with genuine feeling how you get on. I wonder, with believers that are actually acting like this, how much they're thinking of what the church is doing for them. You know, like the president of old said, don't ask what your country can do for you. Well, I'm not going to baptize that, but I would say maybe we could take half of that and say, don't ask so much what your church does for you, but go to the Lord for the sake of the church in prayer. You know, it's a whole different approach. Mention something from when Catherine and I were in college. We were at this very lively, fun camp, Christian camp, and all these hundreds of teenagers would go back to congregations that were small, and actually spiritually most of them were pretty stale, pretty dead. This was a known thing. It was a major problem with all of these teenagers going back to these places. And Catherine actually started a newsletter called Mission Possible. And what it meant was, it is possible for the church to be revived where you're at. Because a lot of the teenagers would say, my church is impossible. That's when they would come and say. They would talk about the music. They would talk about the preaching. They would talk about everything. They would talk about, I don't have 50 teenagers there for me to play with. I don't have all the same stuff as this. Something captured our minds. Our thought changed. And a lot of us, especially college students and some high schoolers, began to think of our local churches that we can join with the Lord to pray for that local church, that it is possible for the church to be revived. It was a whole different approach. For us, it was radical. For us, it was like learning the priesthood of all believers. It was like we were going back, and even though we're not pastors or we're not priests or we're not leaders or we don't have a position, and we're actually very young and not even able to do some of the tasks, we were able to go back and bring life and bring joy and bring the Lord's heart there to the local churches. There's two approaches to that. You can, especially as a teenager, especially as you begin to transition and you get to where you're going to college, then you get the freedom to choose what you're doing. Up until they're about 17, 18, we can hold on to them because the parents, they got them, right? But something happens when you're going to college. You've got this choice. Now, you've got to look at your heart and your mindset. If you have reservations about the church here, ask yourself, do I pray for the church here? Do I share the Lord's heart here? Am I part of the solution or am I part of the problem? And imagine if all of our young people even here, if all of us, all of them from 16, 17, 18, even younger, but began to pray for whatever age anybody is, but began to pray for the church here, what difference that would make. Even as they're approaching college, even what difference it would be for coming back into the church to serve. In the church, the approach is, I'm here to serve the Lord. Now here, there's a lot of opportunity to serve. But it's true. If you want to be entertained in different aspects, or if you want, what can my church do for me? It will be easy to find fault and to drop off. It's very easy. So it may be you come as a spectator and you don't like the preaching. I don't like the way the guy looks. He's losing his hair. He's not as pleasant as this other preacher when I go. Or some need preachers that yell very loud. Some need preachers that, whatever, use PowerPoint. I think PowerPoint is helpful, but I don't always use it. But you can go somewhere that always uses PowerPoint and actually that plays videos and has all kinds of nice things like that. But what is the point of gathering with Christians? Is that the purpose? What can my church do for me? Or do we share the heart of the Lord for the church here in Richmond? Do we pray for the saints here in Richmond? So let's also look at Epaphroditus. And this is also in chapter 2. I want to read something about him. He's saying in chapter 2, verse 25, "But I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow workman and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need." Now, here's a verse I want to focus on. "Since he had a longing desire after you all." That's it. "And he was distressed because you'd heard that he was sick. He was also sick, close to death, but God had mercy on him. Not indeed on him alone, but also on me, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow." So it goes on from there. Him having a longing desire after them isn't that he's homesick. You got to match it with verse 8 that we read in chapter 1, where Paul says, God is my witness how I long after you all. Now, Paul is not homesick for Philippi, but in his prayers, he has a deep care for them. It is a longing as far as I want to be with you, to fellowship with you, but this is something to follow their examples. Epaphroditus is there. He was in Philippi. He was away, and Paul was sending him back. This heart that cares for the church grows or is cultivated when you begin to pray for the church. I really want to pick on this specific thing. Consider this, though. Even whatever age Christian you are, if you're getting baptized today, if you've been a Christian for 50 years, when are we going to touch the Lord's heart for the church, if not in prayer? When you're praying, you're doing it together with the Lord. And specifically, here's how it may happen. You're praying for a certain person. You don't know what to do in the church. You don't know where to start. But you begin to pray for some people. As you're praying, specifics start to come to you. As you're praying, you think of writing a note. As you're praying, you think of a verse that you had in your morning time that is just right for that person. As you're praying, you think of calling them up. As you're praying, you think, oh, I want to sit with them at lunch on Sunday. Or as you're praying for the Bible study on Friday night, the Lord may even give you some things to share for the Bible study on Friday night. In your prayer time, you're in this fellowship with the Lord. You're on His team. You're sharing His heart with the Lord. You have this same-mindedness as the Lord. You join in that longing for the saints, that care for the saints, that love for the saints. Another thing in Colossians, it's right after Philippians. In Colossians, now this is maybe not Epaphroditus. There's people it's debatable back and forth. But either way, this guy has a similar name, and they were probably friends if they weren't the same person. So in Colossians in verse 12, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, might be a shortened form of Epaphroditus. Either way, let's follow Epaphras' example, whether he's the same guy or not. It says, verse 12 of chapter 4, Epaphras, who is one of you, the bondman of Christ Jesus, salutes you. Now, listen to this. Always combating earnestly for you in prayers, to the end that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he labors much for you, and them in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Now, his capacity is pretty big, but I bear him witness that he labors much for you. How can we serve in the church? How is Epaphras serving in the church? How is he laboring? He's laboring for them in prayers. All of the physical things that we do in serving in the church are an outflow of the prayer burden for the church. All of our service for the church, if it doesn't have prayer ahead of time, you have to question, whose strength is that? Whose strength is your service coming from? So if I feel called to serve the Lord in the church, and I don't get on my knees to pray, I mean, you can sit in a chair too, you know what I mean. If I don't get into praying for the church, my service will be by myself. But if you pray, if you labor for them combating earnestly in prayers, you join the Lord's team and the Lord's heart for those souls. So also, we have today people getting baptized. Now, this first week after baptism sometimes can be a violent week. This can be a week that determines, do they start off strong? Do they start off really walking, saying, I'm going to serve the Lord? Or do they just get crushed by the temptations of the world? Do they just get crushed by everything going on? This can be a real week of a fight. And I believe many in this room are probably already determined that they're going to be praying for these three that are being baptized today. This is a real labor of love for the church. So next week, if we look at the prayer that's prayed in Philippians 1, 9 through 11, we could come here being those people that are also praying for the church. To look at this prayer and be people that are praying like this for the church, I think is a different approach. Do a test thing. How many in this room have been baptized? Just raise your hand. Okay. All right. So next week, I hope this won't be embarrassing, but God willing and we live, I'll ask the question, how many this week got to pray for some of the saints just to raise our hands? I'm not going to ask who didn't do it, so you have to stand up and go to a corner. But just let's join this team with the Lord. We've got these people getting baptized today. We've got things that we feel are difficulties in the church, maybe. Maybe you see something that needs to be prayed about. Pray about it. Take the complaints to the Lord. So to start off in serving the Lord and in laboring, we start off with prayer. But to finish in serving the Lord and laboring, we finish with prayer too. For example, there's a problem of maybe you feel there's something that it ought to be different. This ought to be different. It seems like the Lord's sharing his heart with me about a certain thing. This ought to be different. Instead of first going and telling everybody what ought to be different, first tell the Lord in a laboring, travailing, earnestly combating way. Take it to the throne first. From the throne, Christ can actually come down and help other people. It's like this. I can either go directly to you and rebuke you, or I can first go to the Lord, and he can, inside of you, by the Holy Spirit, actually convict you in the gentle, proper way. Normally, this is the normal way that things happen. Normally, we fight and labor in prayer. And it's not like what we all think when we say, oh, well, can't do anything about that. We'll just have to just pray. When we say that, we're thinking like, we can't do anything. But we don't realize, actually, when you're praying for something, that's the main thing that will do something. So instead of saying, I have no ability to change this, all I can do is pray, I should say, God is the God of impossible, and he can change this impossible situation, and thank God I can pray today for his will to be done. This is a real thing when we pray. It actually works. If we try it this week, I think it will actually work. Something will happen. So that's my exhortation. That's my encouragement today. They asked me to share shortly, so I tried. I won't go on. Just one last thing is, I was thinking about this gathering tonight, this family gathering, and in light of this like-mindedness, you know, of Timothy, and it just touched my heart, even how whether or not in the church, whatever we're doing, whether or not our opinions all agree on certain specifics, we go along together as a family. This is being joined. This mindedness of Christ is the willingness to lay down and to go the way of the cross. So to stick together and be one soul isn't that we all agree on every specific. In Philippians 2, we're not going to get into it, but in Philippians 2, when it talks about have this mind of Christ in you, and before that he's saying, don't think of all of your own things, but highly esteem the others. When he's talking about all this, the ideal is we're together as a family, and as we walk together, sometimes we have to give up even what we feel is right and correct of the Lord, but we continue going on together, and the Lord will lead us on in the right way. And sometimes we're wrong too. So that's the thing of humility, like realize that you don't always know God's will. Even when it feels like the Lord's showing me, I'm willing to lay down because also I might not be right. If I come, for example, on a Saturday morning, some of the brothers get together to pray about who would open for our breaking bread time. Say everybody comes with 10 people and they all share, I think this is the opening or whatever. They all share some word. Now, everyone in that room needs to be willing to lay down what they feel is the Lord's leading. Because really, when it comes down to it, if all 10 of them get up here and share right before we have our breaking bread time, all of us will be lost because so many different directions. But one person will get up and share. So that's just an example of, even if something came from the Lord, he spoke to you, did give you the burden, did show it to you, when you're on the Lord's team, your heart isn't so opinionated, but you're willing to drop and lay down your opinions, willing to drop and even lay down the things that are of the Lord, that are of your burden. So hopefully we can take this up to follow my example, not mine, but the Apostle Paul. Follow the Apostle Paul's example as he follows the example of Christ. Hopefully we can take this up and see, this I pray, and actually say, am I praying? He prays for them. He labors for them. Timothy labors for them. Epaphroditus labors for them. Christ labors for them. And this week, can we all join in and labor in prayer for these people getting baptized? Can we labor in prayer for each other? Can we labor in prayer for our gatherings? Just for the church here in Richmond. Just that we all join on this as a family together. And even with this conference meeting tonight, if as a church we're hosting a conference to proclaim a certain word, a word of God's eternal purpose, whether specifics or not, whether we see different things or not, if as a church we're doing this as a family, we can join in together in prayer. And even if my schedule conflicts and I can't come, that doesn't drop you out. because prayer really works. You can join in the team that's praying for this. We can join in the team that's praying and seeking the Lord's will. We're all in this together as a family. So that's on my heart. I feel like this I pray. Let's take that up and actually join with the Lord to pray for the church in Richmond. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray for ourselves that we would be people of prayer, that in our minds we won't consider this as something non-effective, but we know and realize, have that real revelation that you are the one that works these true spiritual things, that you are the one that can do impossible things, and that by prayer we can join with you and agree with your will on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us specifically in our own lives of what measure you'd have us pray, who you'd have us pray for, when to set apart time. Lord, we just pray that this wouldn't be something just in our minds, but we can actually join in with you and labor together for the church here. In Jesus' name, amen.